In baseball, that's batting 1,000 for God, right? He has gotten me through 100% of everything, so praise his name. All the time. Do we need a motion? Is that a motion? Do we have a second? All those in favor say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, this is country church today. Thank you. Actually, that, unless the people of Israel were country folk, and I guess maybe they were, all God's children have been saying hallelujah for a long time, no matter what kind of music they like. So let's get to it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you that you are so faithful. We thank you that as we think about the different things going on in our lives, we can do so with peace, that we can truly be anxious for nothing, but take everything to you in prayer and know that you will meet us and answer us. Please speak to us through your word today. We thank you that you will, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. How much do you see? I mean, really see. When you go around your life, when you go around the usual neighborhoods, when you go around your house, when you go among the people that you go, when you drive the drives that you drive, how much do you really see? It's amazing what we can miss. I want to show you a few things that I've seen. John talked about that big old moon. Did you see the big old moon last night and this morning? It's a little bit hazy. This is this morning, right this morning. What an amazing thing to see that we are able to look at if we will open our eyes and see. One of the things that's kind of funny is we get this idea, and travel agents love it that we get this idea. We get this idea that all the really pretty places are somewhere else, you know? And of course, we generalize that too. All the nice people are somewhere else, etc. But the fact of the matter is, every place is a here. And wherever you are, there you are. We're going deep today. Do you understand that? Wherever you are, there you are. And I would propose to you that if you will open your eyes, you will see beauty all around you. This is the sunrise this morning. Did you see it? Did you open your eyes? It would be okay if you didn't open your eyes for the sunrise, because that was pretty early and you didn't have to get up quite that early. Let me see. This is just outside my back door this morning. Had to get up on a little ladder to see this and make sure that Mama and Daddy weren't there. But this is what's going on just off my back porch. You walked by this morning on your way in. That's the Lady Sadie Rose that's right out there. And if you will stop and if you will look as you go by, you will see amazing handiwork, amazing beauty all around you. You know what artists' job are? Artists' job is to help us see, because so many of us don't. They have gifts, they have abilities, but their biggest gift and their biggest ability is that they go around seeing, and they help us see. You recognize this? Anybody recognize this? Thank you. Right there. It's right there, right here in front of you. God's handiwork is all around. By the way, if you want to stop and see the most amazing stuff that you could want to see, that you don't have to travel around the world to see, although you could, look right beside you. Yeah, go ahead, Randy. Look at James. He's amazing. Every one of you is amazing. Look at your own hand. Tell your little finger to go up and down. Do you know what kind of a challenge that is for a robotics lab? I would say get up and walk around, but you've already done that. Have you watched videos of the robots that they make that can walk on two legs? Very hesitatingly. We've been doing this for thousands of... Well, well. What have we here? I have a visitor. Come on, little. Come on, you. Whoa, it's spinning its wheels. Gotcha. I'd like to thank my assistant, Timothy Mason. Timothy Robert Mason. Now, I want you to think, by the way, this tree is just right across the street in the park. Isn't it a beautiful tree? It's a lovely tree. I tried to get pictures of the bluebirds, but I just couldn't pull it off. But if you looked around, the bluebirds are flying around here. Now this, I want you to imagine, if you were walking in the woods, and all of a sudden you heard this noisy little thing walking, going along behind you. Oh, he's gone. I was going to ask him for one more favor. But you're walking along, and you look behind you. What would you think about it? Would you think, my, this is a strange thing? I wonder where it came from. I wonder how it happened to come together. Or would you think something else? What would you conclude? Would you conclude that this happened in some kind of an accident in a wrecking yard? In a plastic factory? No, neither would I. It's a funny thing. When you look at something like this, which really, on the scale of things, is pretty doggone simple. It's a bunch of plastic, some metal springs, and the motor's built right into the shaft here. There's a motor here. Oh, no, there's the motor. The batteries are right here, yeah, because I paid for them. And it's got this plastic shell, these rubber wheels, hubs. It's not that complicated. But as soon as you look at it, you know that it was made somewhere. Of course, you have half a guess as to where that is. Let me get confirmation on that. Yep, sure enough. You know that it was made somewhere. That it was designed probably on some AutoCAD computer program on a computer screen, that the pieces were designed to fit together, and people put them together and assembled it and brought it to the store where somebody bought it. Just glancing at this in operation, you know this, don't you? Look again at the people around you. Way more sophisticated than this technology. Way beyond anything that we have come up with. Do you know what? I still read it regularly. I read magazines like Discover and Popular Science and other, and online magazines like New Scientist. The latest things that I see tell that the most complex thing known in the whole universe, do you know what it is? The human brain. In all the places that we have explored, under the sea, out in space, in nature, etc., 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 and all the things that we have manufactured ourselves, there is nothing that has been discovered that is more complex and amazing than the human brain. I keep reading that regularly by secular scientists who either don't believe in God or have no burden to teach that God exists. The most complex, amazing thing is sitting right up in your skull. And some of our skulls are a little closer to being visible than the others. Thank you, by the way, Lauren, for your act of love this morning. We appreciate that. All of this stuff around you is doing what? It is yelling, there is a creator. There is a God. This is not an accident. This is not a series of fortunate events. This is an amazing creation by a God who is an artist, a creator. Isn't that wonderful? And this is what the world needs now. In a time when more and more people have lost sight of the fact that they are precious, that they are here on purpose, that they are loved, that there is a plan for their lives. What the world needs now is a creator. What our kids need now is a creator. To know that they matter, to know that they're here on purpose. what the leaders of our country, what the leaders in every department of life need to know is there is a Creator, that we are here on purpose, that there is a plan, that we are loved, and that it is desired for us to be loved and to love forever. We've come to the last part of the first angel's message of Revelation 14, and I invite you, before I put it on the screen, for you to go ahead and turn there in your Bible to Revelation chapter 14, because it focuses in on this great need of humanity. I believe that so much of the lostness that we decry in what's happening in society around us, so much that is upsetting to us, even in our own families, of broken lives, of hurting people, of people throwing their lives down the toilet with addiction and other things, comes down to people not knowing that they are here on purpose, not knowing that they have a Creator. It is a fact that in the United States, that the majority of people believe that God created the earth somehow. And an amazing amount believe that He created it in 6 days, as the Bible says. Around the rest of the world, in Europe, for example, not so much. And in the United States, the belief is on the decline. But the fact of the matter is, even among people who look around and see the creation and just have to believe that there is a God, that there is a Creator, knowing the Creator is a whole different thing. Knowing that the Creator is my Creator who loves me is a whole different thing. And this is what the world needs now. Revelation 14 and verse 7, this message, it goes to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. This message is proclaimed from the midst of heaven so that everyone can hear it. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of waters. If you have your insert that you can follow along with and take home with you so you can remember and study further what we talked about today, you have that right up there at the top. Worship Him who made heaven and earth. Him who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. This, as we looked at, is the beginning of God's last day's message to prepare people before Jesus comes so that as many people as possible won't be the surprised ones who aren't ready, but as many people as possible, as many people as are willing, will hear His call and come to Jesus in faith. And the big part of this message is worship Him who made, who created heaven and earth, the sea and springs of waters. The big message, you have a Creator. You are not here by accident. And of course, we must look at the other side of that, because people who go around aimless and purposeless, wondering what the point is of life, are not the only ones walking around needing to know that there's a Creator. There are others that go around thinking, I am the top. I am the pinnacle. I am the captain of my ship. I am the captain not only of my ship, but I should push other people around to get what I want, because it's all about me. And the message comes to them too. You have a Creator. You didn't make yourself. You didn't bring yourself into existence. You didn't will yourself to happen. You were created. And as soon as you get that, you were created by someone who created you because He loves you. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the seas, and the fountains of water. So the big question is, and we've looked at this, we've answered it in some ways, but on a deeper level, who is this Him? When we say worship Him who created, Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. Well, we should investigate that. And we can. You can follow along on your insert and see the scriptures that we're going to be looking at. Of course, you could have told me this one. You could have probably told me most of these. But we need to look at this. We need to be reminded so that we not only can know, but so that we can share with a world who needs to know that we have a loving Creator. Genesis 1:1. Why don't you say it just for practice? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So very well then, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, a lot of people believe that. But I think God wants to make it more personal in our understanding. So let's go on. God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord. Does anybody know what that means, by the way, when it's all caps in your Bible, the Lord, all caps? Anybody know what that means? What?
Yahweh.
Well, she's pretty close on the money, but thank you. Yeah, that's where the name of God, which has the consonants in Hebrew of YHWH, Yahweh, Jehovah, that's what's translated there. And it's translated as Lord because the custom in the among the Hebrews to reverence the name of God, that they didn't even want to say it, instead of saying the name of God, Yahweh, they would say the word Lord, Adonai. You might have heard the Hebrew word Adonai. And so anytime you see it in your Bible, all caps like that, it actually means that God was revealing himself by name, not as a noun, but as a proper noun, not as something, but as someone. By the word of the Lord, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. By the word of the Lord. And my little sister over here, as we go on, what's your name? Maggie. As we go on, you'll actually find that many of the places in the Old Testament where it talks about Yahweh, it's actually the Son. You know, Paul says that Christ was the one who led them in the wilderness. The Old Testament says that it was Yahweh, Jehovah, that led them in the wilderness. We see this happening over and over in the Bible. Going to John chapter 1, you've got to turn over to that passage. Same author as wrote the book of Revelation, John chapter 1 and verse 1. One of the most profound and beautiful passages in Scripture to me, where it describes the way God entered this world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. You look around, and it's all from his hand, all from his hand. And in case that you're unclear who this Word is in John chapter 1, you go down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is that? That is Jesus. Jesus is our Creator. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4. God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, through whom he also made the worlds. Do you see that? Everything was made through Jesus. Everything was made by Jesus. Jesus is the agent of the creation. And so, as we come through here, we see, just as we saw last week in this message, it shows about the judgment. Jesus is our attorney. Jesus is our judge. Jesus is even the defendant because he took our place. But Jesus is the Creator. That's a profound truth. Jesus is the Creator. Looking back at this message, then, we could read it. Fear God. That's honor him with your heart as who he is, the great king of the universe, and give glory to him. That's honor him with your life. Glorify him by the way that you live, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship Jesus, who made the heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. It's a call to worship Jesus as our Creator. And here we come to some uncomfortable truth. worship Jesus. Why is it that people have forgotten that he is our creator? Why is it that people seem to be leaving the belief that he is the one who made us? That the word of God is true when it says so, that he did it tenderly and with personal care. Why is it? Why is it? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, makes a stunning statement. It says, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water." Do you see that? Do you see the most troubling word in there? It says, not this they accidentally forgot, but this they willfully forgot. Have you ever willfully forgot something? I wonder sometimes, every once in a while, when I've left my phone at home when I've hit the road. I don't think I did it on purpose, but sometimes I wonder, you know? I know I'm guilty of this. Oh, Stephanie's here. I think I've probably, I don't know, technically, actually, literally, but pretty close to have forgotten some things on grocery lists in the past. I don't like that look. She knows this. Yeah. And as I think back through my childhood, you ever have anything you forgot on purpose, accidentally? Anything? Why would you forget something accidentally on purpose? Because what it means you don't like. Because the consequences of doing something you don't want to do, or not doing something you want to do, all kinds of reasons that we forget things accidentally on purpose. But this says, and it's talking about the last days, by the way, if you read the whole chapter of 2 Peter chapter 3, it's talking about the last days. It's talking about the certainty of Jesus coming. It says, "For this they willfully forget, purposely forget, that by the word of God the heavens were," in other words, they came to be of old, "and the earth standing out of water and in the water." The uncomfortable truth of the creation of God. You see, the creation of God not only implies his love and his care and his concern for us, but it implies his authority in our lives. That the things that he's asked of us lovingly and only for our best good, he actually has a right to ask of us. He actually has a right to expect that we would follow him. Praise his name that all of this he does in love, that every relationship, that every manifestation of himself towards us is for the purpose of loving us into his family, of helping us into his family. But that's what it means to fear the Lord, fear God and give glory to him. To fear God means that you know that he is above you, that he is your creator. And so sometimes it is easier simply to say, "Nah, I don't think so. There's nobody else in charge of me. It's all me. I'm the one. I am the captain of my ship and no one else." In Romans, in the indictment of humanity that shows everyone's need of Jesus, everyone's need of salvation by grace through faith, by trusting him, everyone's need that cannot be met, that cannot be filled, no matter how hard we work to try and make ourselves good. Romans chapter 1, in making that case, pointing out the lostness of humanity and our great need of the righteousness of Jesus to save us. Look what it says. You notice that the passage listed starts in verse 20. I want to start there. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." You know, I read some research that was done with some kids. There's a great concern among the scientific community that because of faith in God, because of being raised and from being a small child, having the story of creation, the idea of creation planted in kids' minds, that it's very hard for them to overcome that and come around to the scientific view, to come around to accept that things started with a happenstance and progressed by fortunate happenstances over time, over deep, deep time. And so they did an experiment to study if kids could be brought around to where they don't automatically look for some great thing outside of the system to actually make things happen. And so what they did was they took these kids and they just read a story to them. I don't know how many times they read it, but they read in this story about these anteaters that had these big fat muzzles and about the ant holes that were smaller than their muzzles, but that every once in a while an anteater would be born that had a muzzle small enough to fit through the hole. And only the ones that had the muzzle small enough to fit through the hole survived and reproduced and so on down the line. And thus the kids saw an example of natural selection. And they found that this teaching endured when they were checked 3 months later, that they didn't as readily look for some great power, some great force, some great creator outside of the system to make things change and to make things fit the way that they should. Why would they want to do that experiment? Because when we look at creation, when we actually look at it and see, the conclusion just automatically comes into our mind. Someone did this. Just like when you see some mechanical contraption that appears in your world and you wonder, where'd that come from? But you kind of have a story already. I know someone made it. I just don't know who's driving it. How did that happen? We automatically see it. It's something that has to be overcome for us to look at it any other way. It has to be left behind on purpose. You have to choose it. Romans 1, verse 20 through 25, it says that the creation, in the creation, you can see the Creator. And then in verse 7, it says, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. You got to understand this. Any time that you purposely depart from the truth, the way things really are, no matter how intelligently you did it, you have gone from wisdom to foolishness. Does that make sense? Any time you willfully depart from the truth, no matter how well-reasoned, No matter how much you lined your ducks in a row some way that makes sense to people, you have gone from wisdom towards foolishness. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. Notice God didn't push them into it. He just let them go where they wanted to go. To dishonor their bodies among themselves. And here's the verse that you have on the screen. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see what happened? Now, of course, in Paul's day, it was much more common for the transfer away of worship of the Creator when it comes to the creature. We're talking about images, we're talking about statues, we're talking about idols. In some parts of the world and in some pockets of our own culture, this still happens. But what's the most common, the most respectable way to transfer our worship from the Creator to the creature? Isn't it to worship the things actually of our own creation? Isn't it to, instead of when I look up at the sky, filled with awe and wonder at the God who made them as I did since I was a little kid, change that to just awe and wonder? If I decide that the idea of God doesn't fit into my reasoning and into my lifestyle, that's what it's talking about. Prominent evolutionists have talked about this, you know, because they recognize this need of the human spirit to have something that puts us into that wonder and awe, that state of being where we're just kind of lost in the greatness of something or someone. And they say, I get my awe and wonder just from looking at the things themselves. That's all good. That's all fine. But to miss the one who made them, that's the worst mistake that could be made. To miss the one who made them, the one who is above the universe, who's in charge of the universe, because when you miss him, you miss the one who loves you and wants you in his family, who loves you more than anyone could ever understand, more than you could ever desire to be loved. To miss him is to miss that. And so here is the truth. If you reject Jesus as creator, you reject Jesus as he really is. Does that make sense? It's a rather stark truth. It's fashionable. And I have to confess, as someone who pays attention to scientific literature and is friends with people of all different beliefs and non-beliefs, it's easy to be made to look like an idiot if you believe this same old story that we've believed for so long. It's easy to be painted as some Neanderthal or some primitive human being, you know, to get comments, you seem bright enough, but really? It's kind of embarrassing if you let it be. But if you know the truth that Jesus is your creator, you know that you cannot let go of him as your creator and still hang on to him as your savior. You can't do it because that's who he is. Remember that scene at the when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, showed it on the screen here about a month or so ago, where he said God is looking for people who worship him as he really is. And he really is your creator. He really is the creator of all that we see around us. If you reject Jesus as creator, you reject Jesus as he really is. And I want to take it to an even more beautiful level. This follows right from it. The grace Jesus showed at the cross is the same grace he showed at creation. To reject him as creator is to reject the grace that has been yours since creation and before. You think about that. When Jesus bent down and looked at that dirt on the riverbank, when he looked there and he envisioned Adam as a living being, and he proceeded to get his hands dirty and to start to form that, what do you think went through his mind? Oh, you know, the number one thing that went through his mind was his love for this creature that he was about to bring to life, capable of having a relationship with him, capable of being family to him, of that back and forth of communication of the heart, of favor and desire and love. Oh, he was thinking about that. But do you think he was oblivious to what was going to go from there? Do you think, as he had the first couple before him that he brought into existence, do you think he didn't know what would happen? About the tree, about the children, about the murders, about the everything, bad thing after bad thing, because we would choose to depart from him. We would choose to separate ourselves from him. Do you think he didn't know? Do you think he didn't know about the cross? Are you kidding me? He knew the whole thing. He knew what it would cost him. But he made us anyway. That's grace. That's grace. That's why Revelation 13:8 calls Jesus the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Right from the beginning, his grace was required to even make us. and all the beauty that we see around us, because he knew what it would cost him, but he did it anyway. Yes, the grace that Jesus showed at the cross is the exact same grace that he showed at creation. And boy, if you don't want to think back that far, I think back to my birth. You can think back to your own birth. You know, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has gone to his own way. You know that. You know the ways that you've rebelled. You know the way, the messes you've made and everything like that. But I tell you what, I was reading an article about the debate about abortion and contraceptives that's been so prevalent in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision about Hobby Lobby. But this one article was talking about the amazing number. Every time a woman gets pregnant, I think about at least a fifth of those pregnancies aren't viable, just get washed out. Do you know that you're here on purpose? I think of the picture in the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about God walking by as someone walking by a field and sees a baby that's thrown away to die in a pool of blood. And it says, I was walking by and I turned and I saw you and I said, live. Do you know that he saw you from the earliest bringing together of cells? And to you, by the virtue of the fact that you are here, he said, live. He wanted you. You can criticize the circumstances of your conception, of your birth. Other people can say bad things about it, but the fact of the matter is, he said, live. And you're here because he wants you. You are here on purpose. He is our creator. He is your creator. Though he knew how much it would cost him, he made us. Why, oh why, is this something that has even come into question? Why would the father of lies seed this planet with this idea that takes us away from having him as our creator? I'll tell you why. He doesn't want you to have what Jesus wants you to have. He doesn't want you to have that security. He doesn't want you to have that understanding. He doesn't want you to know that there is a Father, a Creator, a Jesus, a big brother, a Spirit who want you in their family and have done everything and are doing everything it takes so that you can be in the family forever. So that you can know the meaning of love, real love that the world needs. So that you can know that unselfish, that giving that goes beyond what anyone could imagine just for a connection with you. Galatians 4, 3 through 7, you can read the whole passage. I'll just read this part. God sent forth his Son to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. And you can read daughters there as well because it's used in a way that just means children. God sent forth his Son to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God, the children of God. Satan does not want you to know that. He has thrown away the family. And he doesn't want anyone else to experience the love that he has thrown away. He doesn't want anyone else to know and trust the God that he turned his back on, and especially the Jesus of whom he was so jealous. He knows that the deepest desire of God's heart is to bring his family back together, as many as are willing, as many as will trust him, as many as will reach back when he loves us with the love that he has first given to us. And Satan wants to mess that up. Satan wants to block it. He wants to divert it. He wants to bat it away so that you don't have a chance and so that the world out there of every last soul who is just as precious to him as you are won't know. Next Sabbath, we're going to focus in on that phrase, worship him. And we're going to look at the beautiful gift that God has given us. To remind us, not only to remind us, but to give us the deepest, most wonderful connection with him from week to week, to sustain us and carry us forward through our lives, reminding us that he is our creator and giving us the opportunity to spend quality, unmessed up time with him. He loves you. He wants you in his family. He made you on purpose. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that though you know the end from the beginning, that though you know the mess that we as humans would make here in this beautiful creation that you gave us, in our own lives, despite that you know our own selves, every single day that we will live, all of the choices, the ones that we think are good that aren't good enough, and the downright bad ones, Father, you have given us life. You have created us because you want us. And so, Father, I pray for each one of us here today that if anyone here has ever doubted or is in the middle of doubting that they are loved, that they are wanted, that the truth that you are our creator will bring us to our knees before you in gratitude and thanksgiving and complete trust to put our lives in your hands. And Father, I pray for those that do know this, that do cherish this truth, that you are our creator and the creator of all, that we be filled with a love for the people around us that compels us to tell them the good news of a creator who loves us all. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know that they're in the family, I pray that today will be the day that they can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like some help knowing that you are in God's family, that he accepts you, and that he has a plan for your life, I ask an elder to be in each one of these corners here after the service, and they can talk with you, pray with you, and make sure, based on the authority of the Word of God, our Creator, that you know that you are his. May God bless us all.